cash, every movie costs $2,184.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Backtracks Theme Music. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always from my good friend John Mariano. How's it going tonight, John?
I'm working pretty hard, man. Like, I'm working full days lately. How are you?
You know, I'm okay. I feel free. I know you have a very demanding job that takes up a lot of your time, so I really appreciate you making time for us here tonight.
I've been watching a lot of The Orville, and well, it's not an Orville episode that we're going to do right now, but The Orville, like you said, you love the show. I cut you off a little bit there. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Corey, why do you love The Orville?
You know, and I know the complaint against The Orville is it's a ripoff of older Star Trek, but I love older Star Trek, and I love the cast, and I love the crew, and that's what really keeps bringing me back. It's got little tastes of Seth MacFarlane humor in with older Star Trek, and it's absolutely fantastic.
So it's a criticism of the early episodes of the show, and the show is written by Star Trek The Next Generation writers. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about the show, because you haven't watched any of the New Horizons, the third season of the episode that's made for Hulu only.
Right.
So in the third season of The Orville, they really focus on the conflicts, which Star Trek doesn't really do, because all the conflicts are like resolved by the time Star Trek comes out. It's like peace in the galaxy.
Right.
And this is like, yeah, we're trying to get peace in the galaxy, and this is like the struggle to get peace. And that's what I think makes it really interesting is it's a little bit of Star Trek. It's a little bit of Star Wars. And it's true diplomacy. It's like, really, this is what diplomacy actually looks like.
You know, you can tell that Seth MacFarlane really loved Star Trek and what it kind of stood for. It's so good. And with a little bit of his humor kind of mixed in there as well. Like you said, it is available in Canada. I just haven't got around to it yet. But that's one that me and the family sit down to, and they really love The Orville. So I can't wait for season three. And I'm wondering how your selection tonight, John, ties into The Orville.
So there was a race of character on The Orville called Mocklins. Mm-hmm. And Mocklins have a thing where they're mainly men, but the controversy is that they will butcher themselves and they will force sex changes on themselves, but this is their culture to make them all men. And they do that to Mocklin's born women. So some of the women who have escaped the planet and escaped this culture are looking for a rally cry. And like, to make a long story short, Seth MacFarlane's character loves the 20th century, right? Like, that's like his thing, is like the pop culture of the 20th century. And he introduces inadvertently the Mocklins to Dolly Parton and the song 9 to 5, which they use as their rally cry for their rebellion, which is great because the movie that we're doing tonight is very much about the woman's revolution and their rebellion in 1980 in the workspace. And that rebellion was held by Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, and the singer of the song, Dolly Parton.
Oh, yes. 9 to 5. I love this choice, John. This is a great movie. I used to watch it all the time as a kid. It came out in 1980. And I just remember Dabney Coleman plays a son of a bitch like no other. Like, you just hate that guy.
Dabney Coleman plays a son of a bitch. But my favorite scene in this movie is when Lily Tomlin, and it has to be Lily Tomlin, right, breaks out her weed and they all smoke up, the three of them, and they come up with the plan to like kill Dabney Coleman's character because he's such a shit in this movie. And he's their boss and he treats them like shit. He sexually harasses Dolly Parton. He treats the rest of them like complete shit. And you know, so they all smoke up and Dolly Parton has this fantasy where it's like the Old West and she hog ties him and like kills him that way. Jane Fonda, I think she's a hunter, if I remember. And she like hunts him down like she was on a safari and stuffs his head and mounts it and sticks it on the wall. And God bless Lily Tomlin, who dreams she's Snow White and kills him with a poison apple.
Oh, it's fantastic. If you guys haven't seen 9 to 5, go seek it out. I know the AFI listed it as number 74 on its list of the 100 funniest movies of all time. And it's really wonderful. I used to watch this movie a lot as a kid. I was telling John, in Canada, we didn't have HBO or Cinemax. We had the movie channel or super channel. And they played this ad nauseum. Seemed like every other day, 9 to 5 was on. So I used to watch this a ton when I was a kid. And I was about 6 years old when this movie came out, but it really did. It was a big part of my childhood watching this movie. It is so good.
I think it's interesting too. Like, I was just looking up some of the trivia from this movie, and it would have been a much different movie. Dabney Coleman has such great comedic timing in this movie, and him tied up to like this the sex swing or whatever they have him hooked up to in the bedroom,
right,
to like chain him up. They basically kidnap him and chain him up in the bedroom so that way he can't get away. And it's like this kind of sex contraption he's hooked up to, which is hysterical. But can you imagine this movie if they went with one of the two original casting choices of Gregory Peck or Charlton Heston?
Oh my God, that would have been so weird.
Yeah.
Were they really the two actors they considered?
Those were the two actors they were looking at hard over Dabney Coleman before they went with. And Coleman, like all four of them, this is like some of their best work is in this movie. Yep. And if you haven't seen this movie, Corey and I cannot push you enough to go and see this movie. Like, seek it out, enjoy it. It's on the AFI funniest movies list for a reason. It's not just like they're blowing smoke or it's like a safe pick. It's a very timely pick because it's about women's rights, and that's somehow still relevant. Here we are, what, 40 years later, Corey?
Yeah.
And 42 years later, and we're still like, hey, wow, 9 to 5? That's old hat. Like, that was 1980. No, that's like, yeah, no, that's as relevant, or if not more relevant today than it was back then.
That's absolutely true. And for me, it kind of kicked off a wonderful trilogy of Dolly films, because we had 9 to 5, 1980, and then The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which I love that movie, from 1982. And then 1984, Rhinestone, featuring Sylvester Stallone as a country music singer, having to sing along with Dolly Parton. Maybe not a film classic per se, but definitely a must watch.
Yeah, no, and I'm familiar with Rhinestone, and you know, I watched earlier today, and we don't have to give away the day or whatever, because we don't want people to know when we're recording or when we're not recording. But I woke up this morning, I watched First Blood, like as my carry-up call, which why on some earlier episodes from the last couple of episodes, that could give away why I was a little grumpy to start the day. It's a great movie, but probably not what you should have before you have your coffee in the morning.
That's a good point. That explains a lot. But we're going to talk about a fun comedy from the 1980s and a classic song from an absolute American treasure. What do you say, John? Should we play a little 9 to 5 from Dolly Parton?
From the get-go, you're going to be bopping your head to the song. It is a catchy tune. It is a rally cry and is peak Dolly Parton. And I say the word peak a lot on these shows, but like Dolly Parton, one of the greatest country music performers of all time. And this song will show you every reason why.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5.
That is just the voice of an angel.
She is the voice of an angel, and she is about to belt out with the power of a buffalo. And it's amazing how she goes from this, you know, very light and airy, you know, welcoming, you know, couple of verses that we have here, and we're going to get into the chorus. And when Dolly belts the chorus, the power of Dahlia's voice is felt full force. It's almost like you can feel like fans blowing on you, moving the air around you with the power she's about to sing.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taken and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5 for service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a better promotion. Want to move won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes that man is out to get me.
One of the best choruses in music history. I'm not really a country fan. I appreciate some older country like Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, that kind of thing. Dolly's just the fucking bomb, though, isn't she? And as a songwriter, like lyrically and melodically, really kind of second to none.
No, the song melodically will make your heart sing, which is part of the reason why I picked it. But it also, like we were talking a lot about women's rights and how poignant this is with the Orville now, with this movie and the message of this movie. The message of this movie is you have these three women who on very different levels are not getting the equality in the workplace. And not only aren't getting the equality, are getting harassed by this lecherous leech of a man played by Dabney Coleman. And they kidnap him and write some kind of note or whatever, and they're running the company. And they rework the company to be a woman-first environment and put ideas out there, like the things that we kind of take for granted nowadays, where companies that have like built-in daycares and stuff. Like a lot of that stuff, I'm not saying those ideas came out of this movie. Like they were taken from like small ideas that were happening at the time, but like not happening widespread. And this movie was saying, well, why not? Right. And that's like the message of this movie is why aren't we enabling our women to get back into the workforce? And we still have tons of work to do. This movie didn't resolve anything. You know, we're doing this in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm just going to lean into it a little bit. We don't talk politics on this show, Corey, but the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, and like the entire world's on fire right now. And, you know, this movie and this song to me is very representative of that fight and struggle to women's rights, which is why the Orville picked up that thread and they're using it the way they're using it with the Mocklin culture there. Is it an allegory for what women or trans or you know, the LGBT community are going through? Like they are using it as that type of struggle, and it 150% works, right? And you know, it's a very powerful and strong song, and you might not think it hearing like, oh, it's like a pop country song, right? But it has a strong, strong message to it.
Very well said, and very timely for this time, like you mentioned, John. I found it interesting. I was just kind of doing some reading here. Jane Fonda said the film originally was going to be a drama, but anyway, they did it. It seemed too preachy, too much of a feminist line. And back in 1980, that may not have played. So, you know, making it a comedy, you know, I think let it hit a little bit harder and maybe a little bit more accepted. But like you said, here we are in 2022, and the needle hasn't moved very much, unfortunately, especially in the United States.
But I will say, like, dramas don't stick with me the way comedies do, right? And, you know, speaking as a very, like, I'm a white man, like, I know exactly what I am, right? But if the message of this movie is that it wants to stick and it wants to make that point, well, here I am 42 years later, right? I'm 45, so I was like 3 when this movie came out. And I am talking about this on a podcast, a format that didn't exist when this movie came out, talking about how relevant the movie and the song still are today. So if the debate is like, should they have gone with a drama or something more heavy-handed, I'm evidence, you're evidence, that how effective this movie and song actually are by us two grumpy middle-aged white men who were kids when this movie came out talking about it today.
Dream just to watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
I fucking love Dolly Parton. Do you know what I mean, Corey?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, she has so much grace and power at the same time with her voice that all of this seems so effortless. And, like, I don't think that we truly appreciate the genius of the song.
I know, and I almost got a little teary-eyed, John, because I was listening to her sing it. You're in the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's going to turn and it's all going to roll your way. And I was thinking, when the fuck is that day? It's not now, as you alluded to, right? Like, you know, how many years later? And the tide still hasn't kind of turned that way.
But you know what? This song's about the fight. And, you know, that's why we're doing this tonight. That's why we're talking about this, you know. Are we the right people to be talking about it? Who is the right people to talk about it, right? Like, we all need to be talking about this. We all need to be pointing this out. And look, if this isn't your episode tonight, I'm perfectly okay if you want to sit here and either stop listening to our podcast because you don't agree with what we're talking about, or if you want to skip this episode, right? If we can't get through to you, that's not my fault. But honestly, I don't want you as a fan if that's your problem.
It kind of made me laugh a little bit that we're talking about such heavy topics, and this is such a light, bouncy, fun tune.
It's a light, bouncy, fun tune, but the thread that we're picking up is what the movie's about, the theme of the movie, which is part of what our podcast is about, and how the theme of the movie is being carried on in the theme of a TV show that's currently airing on Hulu, and streaming on Hulu. It's coming out week to week and in the middle of its third season, and real life events that are happening in society right now. So as light and airy and poppy as this song is, or any light and airy pop song can be, there's a way music can move you that might be unexpected. And you might go, oh, it's that 9 to 5 song that I've heard 1,000 times on like easy listening radio or whatever. But it is a poignant, poignant song from a very relevant movie. And yes, it's a funny movie, right? Like, I don't want that to get lost in any of this messaging, right? Like, 9 to 5 is hysterical.
Yes.
The three actresses, their chemistry is brilliant, right? Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda still work today on their show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Right. I watched the first, like, I think 3 seasons of it, and I was waiting for Dolly Parton to show up. She never shows up, and they still work so well together. Dolly Parton just showed up on the Orville referencing this song, singing a new song to the Macklin character. And, you know, it was wonderful and beautiful, right? Like, you know, they're in their 80s now. Right? Like, it came out in the 1980s, and these women are in their 80s, not just still relevant, but still at the top of their game.
And I think back to this past year where Dolly Parton was nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and she asked that her nomination be rescinded because she didn't think she had earned it. There is nothing more rock and roll than Dolly Parton, right? In her attitude. And in 1980, doing a song like 9 to 5, that's the embodiment of rock and roll. She absolutely earned her nomination and earned getting inducted. God bless you, Dolly Parton, an absolute American classic. Dolly Parton, 9 to 5 from 1980. What a great song. What a great choice, John. And especially for all the reasons you kind of outlined here tonight, a great selection for this episode.
Thanks, man. Like, I know people might've been tuning in going, oh God, they're doing a pop song, or maybe they were excited that it was gonna be a light and airy episode and we got a little bit deeper than normally we get. But, you know, I've recently watched the latest episode of The Orville, and it really hit home for me that we should be talking about this. And, you know, what a great time for us to be talking about 9 to 5, the movie, the song, the themes therein, which I feel like we accomplished our mission tonight. Like, our mission is to talk about the themes of the movie, the themes of the song, and how they tie together. And I just feel like you can't do that without talking about these subjects tonight.
100%. And even back in 1980, you know, it was very relevant then. And unfortunately, with the way things are going in America, very relevant now. You can look at it on face value. The movie's, you know, pleasant. I think Roger Ebert actually, looking at it here, gave it 3 out of 4 stars and called it pleasant entertainment and liked it despite its uneven qualities. As in 80s comedy, it's pretty good. But, you know, dig a little deeper. And especially where America, unfortunately, right now is at, you know, this song really kind of hits home. And, you know, we're not immune to that kind of stuff here in Canada as well. Like, it's one thing to kind of point the finger at America and say, you know, you got all this stuff kind of going on with the overturning of Roe v. Wade and everything else. Things aren't much better in Canada or elsewhere in the world. So, unfortunately, in 2022, still a very timely song.
And fun. It's a fun song, right?
Yeah.
Like, all things being equal, all things said, it's a very fun and entertaining song. It's a very fun and entertaining movie. And you should listen to and watch both.
And you know, another song that did not win Best Original Song at the Academy Awards. It was nominated, but did not win.
What be it?
Geez, I'd have to look that up.
Well, you probably should have looked it up before you brought up the fact, Corey.
Boy, good point. I'm not really good at my job here. It was actually nominated with The Competition, Fame, and Honeysuckle Rose. It actually lost to Fame, which Fame is a pretty iconic song, too.
I kind of forgive it. And Fame had the movie and the TV show. But as good as I think Fame is as a song and as a movie, 9 to 5 as a movie and a song for me has stood the test of time longer.
I agree. And you could literally look at every year for original song and pick out the song that deserved to win other than the one that actually won. Like, I'm looking at 1982. Eye of the Tiger from Rocky III was nominated, along with It Might Be You from Tootsie, lost to Up Where We Belong from An Officer and a Gentleman, which a good song, but I don't necessarily agree with that one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care who wins awards. I care, like, what sticks with me. And that's why I talk about, if we want to talk about an award show thing, we'd have an award show podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk about the winners. We talk about, like, what resonates with us, what sticks with us, what's important to us. And, you know, tonight it's 9 to 5. And, you know, go watch the movie, listen to the song. Go ask your Alexas and your Siris to play some Dolly Parton and enjoy.
You know what? I agree 100%. All that said, I'm looking at 1984 and the songs nominated for Best Original Song. I'm going to list them, and I want to get your opinion on who you think won. The nominees that year were Against All Odds, Phil Collins, Footloose, Ghostbusters, and The Woman in Red by Steve.
I just called to say I love you one.
It did, yeah. But, you know, look at that Murderer's Row. Against All Odds is a great song. Footloose, Let's Hear It from the Boy from the same movie, and Ghostbusters, all nominated that year. That's a pretty good lineup.
It's a pretty good lineup, but it's going against Stevie Wonder.
And, yeah, he was pretty huge. I remember that song was really big in 1984. But
That was the first album, or the first 45 my brother bought. So, really? Yeah, no, that was my brother and I went in 85 to the record store with my mom, and he got that, and I got a song that we're going to do on a later episode.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for that one. And we're going to do probably next 1987. I'm looking at those movies. We have The Princess Bride, Storybook of Love, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now from Mannequin, Cry Freedom, Shakedown from Beverly Hills Cop 2, and I've Had the Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing. Sorry, I'm going down a rabbit hole here, John, looking at all these great songs that were nominated in the 80s.
Well, I'm going to rescue us from rabbit hole and just thank everybody. And look, go vote. Go do what you need to do. Be proactive. Support women. Support minorities. Support trans. Support people, right? Like, we talk about all these pockets that we need to support. We need to support people. And whatever that is, whatever that looks like to you, you know, take the Dolly Parton rally cry and support people.
Extremely well said. And on that note, we'll call it a night. On behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Marsden. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Backtracks Theme Music.
Well, it's all over. Did you hear? An autopsy? I might as well just save him the trouble and give him the rat poison.
Oh, well,
that
to me. Are you crazy? You want someone to see it?
Well, who cares? I'm finished. I'm a murderer.
No, you're not.
I'm a murderess. Poor kids.
Violet, you're nothing until proven guilty.
You know they're going to find the poison when they do the autopsy on the body.
I'm going to get rid of the poison.
No, no.
I'll get rid of the body.
No. Violet, it's not murder. There are extenuating circumstances. It was an accident.
An accident? She was thinking about doing it last night. We were all thinking about doing it last night.
But she didn't do it on purpose.
Oh, maybe unconsciously I did. It's no use. I'm going to go to the pen.
We better get her a lawyer.
I'm going to be locked up for life.
Where's the phone?
Over there.
Do you have any change?
I think so.
I just sit right here.
I'm going to lose my job.
Violet, now just calm down.
I'm no fool. I've killed the boss. You think they're not going to fire me for a thing like that?
Now, hush.